A quality teacher can provide a learning environment in which a child can develop optimally and in a holistic manner. There have been various opportunities made available through which ECD training programs have been introduced. ECD qualifications have been offered primarily in TVET colleges and through civil society with the support of EDPT CETA. In this conversation, we discuss the training of ECD practitioners with Melody Mariska from the College of Cape Town, Crawford Campus. Do join us.
I'm not entirely sure if most people would know how the career path goes through, but also what I do like about TVET colleges is the fact that they're located in communities. So even if you were to go to a small town, chances are you would find a TVET college. But I guess you, as Cape Town, you have the privilege basically of being in an urban area. And I think because you guys are really accessible to the community, like taxis and all of that, so children would be privy to the information that you just shared with us. But also there's another question then I have for you. Are these programs offered through learnerships where, from what I understand, learnerships, that's where students are paid a stipend to sort of study? Hi, Melody, how are you?
Hi, good day, Yulisa. I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. I had a question from my cousin who is currently an ECD practitioner in KZN. How does one then become an ECD practitioner, and how is this different from studying towards a teaching diploma or a degree?
Oh yeah, no, thank you for that. Just to answer your first question around your niece who was interested in seven, as I go through the qualification, I'd be able to answer the question around in seven, okay, as opposed to a level seven. Firstly, deciding to become an ECD practitioner is a unique career. So you'd have to look at the individual, and clearly it would be something, an area that they would want to work in. And so when we speak about an ECD practitioner, we're looking at an individual who wants to work with children between specifically birth to primary school. It's a time when children develop some of their most important cognitive attitudes, cognitive skills, and so from that we can see that it's a very, very high calling to work mm-hmm. with children. Now there are a few pathways to achieving qualifications or a qualification or becoming an ECD practitioner. Mm-hmm. And the TVET colleges offer this. College of Cape Town, we offer early childhood development training. And I think there are, like I've mentioned to you, various pathways, and I'm going to talk through these with you right now.
Okay.
The one would be a learner who has a grade 9. That learner and the learner is decides to move into the TVET sector, specifically wanting a grade 12 in early childhood development, a national certificate vocational in early childhood development. We offer that qualification, and the learner would then exit with a level 4, which is in schools. A student with a grade who leaves exits at grade 12 would have a level 4.
Oh yeah.
So we offer this level 4 vocational. That learner could then decide to continue, and they are now regarded as an ECD assistant. The learner could then decide, okay, I have my level 4. I would now like to continue. And so the pathway would be the report 191 EduCare, and that course really looks at students who have either the level 4 or have passed grade 12 and who would want a diploma in early childhood development. So the previous one was a certificate, and you'd move to N4, N5, and N6. This is an 18-month qualification based on the academic, and then you would do 18 months practical and receive a diploma in early childhood development. And the diploma there is the N, regarded as the N7. You do an N4 for 6 months theory, you do an N5 for 6 months theory, and an N6. And then you conduct, which is 18 months theory, you conduct 18 months practical, which is regarded as your N7, and that gives you a diploma in early childhood development.
Okay.
So those are the two pathways, and then we also have an occupational pathway. And that starts with a level one, which is really a general certificate. The occupational is, we work with various CETAs, and we work with the department, with social development, around this training. And most of our students in this occupational pathway are students who are at early childhood development centers and have come in to volunteer, or maybe they are responsible for the groundsman or responsible for the cleaning or the cooking at the school. And it could be that they become very interested and would like to be teachers. So the occupational is really learners who are already in the environment and have a one-day release to come to college for the training, to marry their practical experience with their theory, and in so doing, issue them with a certificate. So those are the three main pathways that we offer at our college. Mm-hmm. And then we are also in partnership with UNISA. And these students can go further to a level 8 and then study the bachelor degree in foundation phase. So, you know, Yolisa, it's really where the student wants to be. Mm. It's very interesting because we have students who clearly indicate that they want to work with children between the age of 0 to 5. Like, I want to work with toddlers, and others would indicate I'd want to work with grade R. So it's really, you know, it's a career where you can select the age group that you would want to work with.
There has to be some knowledge about the levels and the ends and the NQF in a way, but
Okay, so the learnership is the learner who would come 1 day a week or 2 days a week and spend the rest of their time in the practical environment. And these students are funded, and we have various partners, like I mentioned earlier, social development, CETA, and the health department as well, and the Western Cape Education Department. So these are contributors or partners in the training of our students for the learnership. The students do receive a stipend, and that is issued to them. And it covers the training, it covers their transport, learning material that they would need, etc. And this is to support the learner in their training development. And our partnership with these stakeholders, you know, is really based on an MOU that drives us to ensure that all the outcomes are achieved. The main being that the student leaves not only with the financial support. The main thing is that the learner leaves and there is quality in what the learner has. They stay at College of Cape Town, they stay in the ECD environment, their exposure to ECD, so that they don't just leave with the theory, but they can actually go out and make a change in the life of children.
Mm. And then, you know, there's this perception that ECD is sort of like a baby care profession. I think that comes from stereotypical views of how we see jobs that are dominated by women. So how do we move away from this perception that this is a baby care profession? And so that we start to take it seriously, because I believe that the other reason why ECD currently is experiencing many challenges is it's sort of treated as an informal sector, except for the part that grade R has been moved and has been sort of made compulsory by the Department of Basic Education. But how do we start moving away so that parents can also start taking it seriously for their children, so that professionals see it as a profession? Like, how do we start moving away from that narrative?
Mm. Yeah, thank you. That's a very good question. You know, ECD, like you've mentioned, has really been associated with just holding the baby and changing napkins. And in our interaction, when students come in, we ask them, why do you want to do early childhood development? What do you understand by it? Before we take them through the induction process, we just enjoy looking at their reference when they come in. And, research tells us that good ECD, good childhood outcome centers, are achieved in different ECD programs. So the various programs that are offered are not the question, you know. It is more the perception that doing early childhood development is not as important as doing grade R, grade 1, grade 2, grade. And it is really a problem because, you know, the first 5 years of a child's life is where most, a large space in their time of cognitive development, social interaction, all these various skills are developed in that space. And I do believe that a grade R has been standardized.
Mm-hmm.
And I look forward to the day when ECD is standardized, because ECD practitioners work hard. They cover the very vital stages of a child between 0 to 5. If you go from one daycare center to the other, you would not have a standardized salary. It could vary from maybe 800 Rand at one daycare center to 8,000 Rand at another daycare center. And not that money should create an importance, but standardization should then put ECD into a bracket where the student understands where they are going. You know, purpose, if you look at daycare centers and ECD, you get purpose-built ECD centers, you get home-based ECD centers, playgrounds, child minors. We have some of our ECD students going to work in pediatric institutions.
Oh, wow.
Social development, or pairing. So that is all before they actually get into the grade R class. So I think the standardization of the qualifications across the board would really stabilize the ECD sector in its recognition.
Okay. And then just to put you on the spot, Melody, I just want to find out, does SAIS sort of, or is SAIS working towards recognizing ECD practitioners as part of their workforce?
Yes. Our level 5 higher certificate students, once you have your level 4, which is your grade 12 equivalent, we have students who have applied for the SAIS certificates and have received it. So that is achieved. But while I sit here and, you know, discuss these factors, it is really important not just for us to engage in it in the education sector, but like you have seen over the past few months, there's been a lot of dialogue ensuring that ECD is recognized, and also, the activities or some of the detriments that have taken place hasn't gone under the carpet. We are addressing it. they're dealing with children's lives. Because teaching is a profession that can make a profound difference in the lives of our future generation of this world. We are in the business of changing lives. That is our business. And so part of it is standardization of our practitioners who in turn work with children.
And then on that point, so when I was doing my research, I read a document that was published by the CETA, so ETDP CETA. And then part of the research also indicated a concern that there might not be enough professionals to train ECD practitioners. I don't know whether it's a problem because it doesn't belong to a university, right? I don't know if it's a problem because it's civil society. And I don't know if that is problematized because of that. So you'll find that it's not necessary that the professionals to develop ECD practitioners is lacking. It's just that it doesn't look a certain traditional way that we are used to. Civil society has been training. So I'm not sure whether it is an issue that it's civil society and it's not a university. And then also, I'm not sure whether a lot of work, because if TVET colleges have been providing the services, I don't know whether we're trying to say that then this training should be moved to a university.
Yeah, that's such a good question, because if we go back and we look at, you know, at the history with teachers, we had teachers training colleges in the past.
Yes.
And we lost that. And in my opinion, that was a great tragedy. Because there was a lot of practical exposure and practical experience that comes with this. But having said that, the ECD practitioner is exposed. So the students who study with us, we have a fully-fledged daycare center on the campus. I'm just going to give you some background as I answer your question.
Okay, that's fine.
These students are exposed. So there are observation rooms to every age group. And students, we have a timetable where students are then able to go in. The timetable varies because this week the group would observe, for example, the music ring. But the timetable has to adjust every 2 weeks to accommodate the student round two, observing storytelling. And that in turn equips the learner. So the learner is not just sitting in the classroom and listening. The learner is also going and observing and then sharing with one another. So that equips the learner. And then they have opportunities to interact in the classroom while their fellow peers assess them, which leads to a lot of dialogue. And these are the rich environments that learners must be exposed to. But around the professionalism, look, I'll give you an example. We have 12 lecturers who were once our students. Ooh. And these learners, lecturers, have such grounding because they started as ECD practitioners. They got some of them came in with a grade 12, others came in and achieved their grade 12. They then went on to their diploma. They have gone on to do their degree. And we have one of our students at the moment conducting her PhD. Wow. So we provide a rich environment for the student. But if we look at early childhood development, the entire training of that, the University of South Africa and College of Cape Town are in partnership, and we deliver that program and the practical components of that on behalf of the university. So in doing that, we are assisting the learner in their transition from the 0 to 5 to the 6 to 9. And the learner then goes out equipped. So these are the environments that are important for the student. And then this learner has such a grounding, they can then go and work and then facilitate upcoming students.
And then Does the ECD migration from DSD to the Department of Basic Education have any implications on your work?
Not at this point. No, it does influence us because it, you know, with the ECD sites are really influenced, and so that impact is really felt by our daycare center. So it does influence us, but not as directly as it does the daycare centers.
Okay, not yet, yeah. Basically, let me thank you, because we are almost done with our interviews. This was very insightful. You really provided a lot of context. Thank you so much for that. And also well done to the work that you guys have been doing. Remind me again, what was the work that you did with UNISA? You mentioned it earlier.
Oh yeah, so in 2003, UNISA approached the College of Cape Town to begin a partnership where our students could then, we would offer the degree on behalf of UNISA. Okay. So these classes are offered full-time Monday to Friday and on weekends for staff who work. The qualification is still received by UNISA, but the training and that is conducted by our staff. And then also with UWC, you know, the Minister of Education, it has advocated that TVET colleges and universities work together. Mm. And we are also working with UWC in the development of a level 5 CE qualification. So right. That synergy, you spoke about universities and colleges, that we have closed that gap.
Okay, that's good. Like, that's good. That's impressive as well. Congratulations on that. And then just in closing, Melody, would you just share your hopes and dreams for the sector, what you wish to see in the future, any opportunities maybe we have not identified, anything just in closing so that whoever listens to this is sort of inspired or they have something to think about as we end this podcast?
Thank you. I think we are in a profession where we are constantly exposed to the sense of wonder that comes with watching a young child grow. And I do believe that the rewards are great around changing and influencing a life. I would love to see the standardization of ECD practitioners, standardization around the salary. I really do believe that that is on the top of my list, because by doing that, we would be recognizing and standardizing early childhood development. Something else that I would like to see is that, you know, we're living in an era where young people, it's an era of opportunity in education, and we should really, really, really fine-tooth comb young people who are interested in early childhood development and to filter them in into the field of service. Those are two aspects, because I really do believe that those are our foundational cracks that influence us as we move along. So that is really, and we must also, we must never make the fatal mistake to confuse the quality with the setting of ECD. The setting does not have to be, it's not the setting that makes a good ECD. It's the quality in that setting sets us apart. And that is really important for me, for our students as well. To go and visit an ECD site and you look at the building and you say, that's wonderful, then that is a very sad day for me, because it's what's happening in the class.
But you just touched on something that I was wondering about, the standardization of salaries. How do salaries of practitioners, ECD practitioners, look like currently? Is it like really bad or?
Yeah, you know, we work with various, we have a large cohort of students. You know, this campus has 3,200 students, and of those students, about 1,700 is early childhood development. So it's a large cohort of early childhood development. And it is very interesting to note the variance in each teacher goes to work and works from 8 to 5. But the salaries can move from a few hundred up to a good few thousand. And that is the disparity. That is the inequality, you know, for me. Because when a teacher goes in, you kind of know, okay, I will be on this level. I could fall into this bracket. And with ECD, the student works hard. The student's working with the most important stage in a child's life, the foundation. And while recognition is given to that, no recognition really, in you know, that's my view, is given to the outputs. And and so I look forward to the day. I look forward to the day.
I really do as well. Yeah, because it's also refreshing and nice as a graduate to come into an industry knowing that your salary is graded. You sort of can create your own pathway in terms of how your growth would look like, because you know that you will start at X number of your salary, your career trajectory. After getting X number of years of experience, then your salary will probably increase. But now it sounds like some are paid wages and some are paid salaries, and there's no clear indication of how to sort of make it standard currently, which is, it's a valid dream, I believe. And I hope we are working towards that as well. Yeah.
Thank you for that, Julissa.
Yeah, no, thank you for sharing this information. I really, really appreciate it.